comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. And just want to tell you, I'm delighted you're here. And I think you're going to be delighted as well. We have some gangbuster stuff to talk about here tonight. It is going to be Open Line Live. I've got a few things to throw on the table first, and then we'll open up the telephones and we will allow you to bring your own topic. That means it's a great time. Open Line Live is an absolutely fantastic time for you to call in, but especially if you're like a first-time caller, you've never called before, Open Line Live's a super time because we have more telephone time available, and it's easier to get in at some point during the show. So if you haven't gotten through before, or if you haven't even tried before, this is a good night to try. And this is also a good night for you if you haven't subscribed to the K-Files. The K-Files is our free weekly newsletter. The K-Files is, we send it out on Friday. We send it out via email, and we would like for you to be getting it because, number one, it's a great publication. Number two, it's free, really free, not like government free where we're going to give it to you, but we're going to take everything you own in order to give it to you. This is real free, okay? And you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. And so there's really no reason for you to not be informed about what's going on in the show and what's going on in the world within our genre. So just go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and subscribe. Just click where it says K-Files. This is also a good night, if you haven't done so, to join our members area, because in the members area, you will be able to watch the show live. You'll be able to watch the latest show. We have a collection of videos for you to watch as well. We've got some more going in, and it's called our Video Galaxy. We have chat, we have forums, we have a library of free ebooks for you, and we do special broadcasts that are just in the members area, and we do video chats, and then I do a monthly chat where I go into the chat room once each month. Actually, I go in more than that, but I go in once each month on a scheduled basis. And on the first Saturday of each month, I go into the chat room and spend a couple of hours, and we just have a good time. And everybody knows, all the members know, that first Saturday of the month is when we're going, when I'm going to be in the chat room, and when we can have our monthly chat. And then I drop in from time to time at other times. So it's 23 cents a day to be a member. I mean, really, take 23 cents to any store and see what you can buy. But you get a lot of value for it right here. That comes out to $6.95 a month. And we would be more than happy to welcome you into our members area. Oh, you also get the archives, the K-Pods. We'll be back right after this. All right. right. This is Open Line Live for this week, and we're going to have, I think, a rip-roaring show here tonight, or as Ed Sullivan used to say, a really good shoe. Some of you are so young you can't remember. You have no idea who Ed Sullivan was. But some of you remember Ed, and this is going to be a really big shoe. Couple of things I want to bring to you. First, remember those of you who tried to listen to the show last night, remember how someone absolutely interrupted us and was able to drop us off of the internet, and then I caught them in the background. I could hear them, and I turned the volume up so you could hear them momentarily. Remember that? Well, my guest was Marshall Masters. One of the things that people may not know about Marshall is that, first of all, he is an audio-video somewhat of an expert, having been a CNN science producer. He is also quite an expert in computer security. Internet system security, IT security. And he's done lots of work for lots of really, really big corporations, computer corporations, as a matter of fact. And what he did, I had no idea he was going to do this, but he downloaded last night's show. And those of you who have clicked on Listen to Latest Show, or if you're a member, you've clicked on Watch Latest Show, you realize that I kept recording even while we were offline. And I caught them. I could hear them. And what he's done is, well, I'll let you hear what he has done. This is going to be about 4.5 minutes, something like that. And he'll explain what's up.
Hi, Kevin. This is Marshall Masters. Really enjoyed being on your show last night. Downloaded it. I wanted to take a close look at that interruption midway through the show where your phone lines and your internet connections were taken down. Now, what I've done is enhanced the areas in between your spoken words where you're either quiet or you're taking a breath. And what you're normally going to hear is just some static, or what we call white noise. Now, what I did with these static and white noise segments in between your spoken words was that I stretched them out, slowed them down a little bit, and increased the volume and tried to clean up the signal as best as I could. What you will hear first are a series of white noise segments that are probably your usual white noise when you're doing your show. Then you are going to hear completely different background noise. This is something you picked up on. And what you're going to hear is someone keyboarding at the same time that they're having a very excited conversation with someone else, although there's not enough clarity in the signal to figure what they're saying. However, what got my attention was that the keyboarding was clearly in the breaths. This keyboarding sound is very isolated. If I were to venture an opinion as to what you picked up on very quickly with your good hearing, is that whoever was blocking you was most likely using a laptop, which would have a built-in microphone, and they had just simply forgotten to turn it off or turn the volume down. Now, this would be very consistent with what we have found with paid disinformationalists who have access to really exquisite tools, I might add. They generally tend to favor laptops with Wi-Fi modems. They're mobile. They don't transmit from the same place twice, but they are territorial, and we inevitably will track them back to London in most cases. It would be consistent here in the sense that you're doing a show that has a very big international reach, so they would be monitoring you. Now, let me go ahead and present to you the enhanced version of that segment. Again, please keep in mind that the audio modification just is limited to slowing it down by a factor of 3, and then also in audio enhancements to remove clicks and extraneous noises. And with that, here you go.
We must have said some things that somebody didn't like. Somebody decided that the connection had to be cut. Somebody decided that Marshall, I guess, was getting way too close to something they didn't want said. And so they decided that they would close the connection. Now, I'm not real sure kind of interesting. Can you hear that in the background? Listen. Now, what that is, that is not in this studio. Do you hear that noise in the background? Let me do it again. All right, there you have it. That is what I was hearing in the background. Now it's been amplified where you could hear it. And most people that listen to this show know that, I don't think they have any doubt when I say that we get interfered with. Some do. I get some email from people saying, it's just your equipment. Well, now you've heard it. Now you know. It's the truth. I was a little bit amazed, though, when he said that they are usually able to trace this all back to London. Now, that's something I had no idea about. All right. Now, I had all the mics hot in order for us to be able to hear that file. Had all the volume hot, so let me turn that back down. Okay, a couple of other things. I thought you might be interested in hearing that it was very much for real. That was in the line, in the background, and it was certainly not in the studio. Okay, now let's see what we've got. Okay, you know how very often we talk about these stories where people discovered giant skeletons, and then the skeletons just seem to disappear. They turn them over to some archaeologist, or they turn it over to some museum, and are in many cases, some cases, the Smithsonian, and then these giants just disappear. And the museums and everybody says, well, we don't know anything about that. Well, I found on a very interesting website a reproduction, or a picture, if you will, of a page out of the San Antonio Express newspaper in 1940. And I want to share that with you because I want to tell you, those of you listening by radio, I'll describe it for you. Those of you watching in our members area, you can see this reproduction of the page, the article. And what it's got is, over on the right-hand side, there's a picture of three skulls. The first two, going from left to right, are human skulls, just regular, normal-sized human skulls. The other one is about double the size. It is apparently human, but about double the size of the others. And this was in 1940. The headline says, Beach, B-E-A-C-H, Beach Giant Skull Unearthed by WPA Workers Near Victoria. Okay, WPA was a government program during years when Roosevelt was president. And he was president, of course, in 1940. But it was started in his era, in the Roosevelt era. And it was, I'm really not sure what WPA stood for, something administration, Work Projects Administration, I think is what it was. And what they did is they used government money to hire people to go out and clear land and build buildings or build bridges or whatever needed to be done. It was an infrastructure kind of thing, I think. So anyway, the WPA workers unearthed two skulls. The one on the far right in this picture is the giant skull that they unearthed. The other two are just there in the picture to show you what a normal sized skull would look like. And the remains of this giant, the bones, were reassembled by the at the WPA laboratory, according to this article, under, and I'm quoting from the article, under supervision of physical anthropologists. Well, then it was given to the National Museum of Physical Anthropology, and then it was lost. How about that? But the reason I show you this is, even though they have lost this giant skeleton, so they say, here is part of that skeleton in a picture in the newspaper as recent as 1940. Okay? So they can't say it didn't exist. There's a picture of the skull. And they estimate this, the article that went with this on the website, the comments on the website that went with this article out of the newspaper said that they estimated that this giant would have been taller than Yao Ming, the very tall, very famous NBA star from China. So that would have been indeed a very, very large individual. Now, let's go to a statement by a very famous scientist. This scientist should be known to everybody. His name was Robert Oppenheimer. And he said, there must be no barriers to freedom of inquiry. There is, listen to this, there is no place for dogma in science. The scientist is free and must be free to ask any question, to doubt any assertion, to seek for any evidence, and to correct any errors. How wise Dr. Oppenheimer was, and he was exactly correct. Exactly correct. Now, I got an email, I think it was yesterday. The email was from Cal, one of our listeners, and he says, hey, Kevin, here is an article that basically asserts what you've been saying all along about life on other planets. And then he had a link to an article. And this article led me to information about statements being made by Lord Martin Rees, who is an astrophysicist. He is president of the British Royal Society. And he made some very, very important and very interesting statements about extraterrestrial life. He says, speaking of extraterrestrials, they could exist in forms we cannot conceive. And he goes on to say, you know, they may be staring us in the face, and this is a quote, they could be staring us in the face, and we just don't recognize them. Does that sound a little bit like Dr. Lakhazar Filipov? And as a matter of fact, Dr. Filipov and Lord Martin Rees even kind of resemble each other a little bit. It looks like they could be family, you know. I'm sure they're not, but it looks like they could be. Well, he says they could be staring us in the face, and we just don't recognize them. Now, listen to the rest of this. The problem is that we're looking for something very much like us, assuming that they are at least have that they at least have something like the same mathematics and technology. Now, you're exactly right, Cal. That sounds very much like what I've been saying for years. First of all, if it is true that life arises, that life happens, if that's the truth, it just happens, then it has to be true that life happens within the context of the environment in which it finds itself. Therefore, if you have a planet where oxygen is a big part of the and nitrogen a big part of the atmosphere, it stands to reason that things that live out on the surface are going to use oxygen and nitrogen. On the other hand, if you have an environment where there is no oxygen, could you still have life? Well, we found it right here on this planet. Until recently, I was talking about little things smaller than bacteria. But now they've discovered little squid-looking things that live where there is no oxygen. No oxygen. And they live in that environment. So is oxygen necessary for life? Obviously not. So if you have a planet where the primary gas is methane, is it possible that life could arise that uses methane like you use oxygen? Apparently so. We'll get into this a little bit more when we get back. Let me wrap up on this article sent to me by Cal, and then I'll open up the phone lines. But here you have Lord Martin Rees, who is the president of the Royal Society in Great Britain. He is an astrophysicist, very, very credentialed, very famous, and he says they could be staring us in the face and we wouldn't even recognize them. Now, Frank Drake is the founder of SETI, and he spoke at the conference and said that satellite television and the digital revolution is making humanity invisible to the aliens, because we've got about 50 light years of space filled up, just packed with analog signals that we've been broadcasting here on Earth for years and years. But now we're not broadcasting analog so much anymore, and it's all going digital, and therefore the analog signals are dissipating out there. We're no longer putting more into the pipeline. Now, here's what's interesting about how this could be working. The average age, the median age of terrestrial planets in the Milky Way, according to Milan Cirkovic, who is from the Astronomical Observatory in Belgrade, Serbia, the average or the median age is 1 billion years greater than the age of the Earth and the solar system. So we're the new kids on the block, you see. And that means that the median age of technology, and technological civilizations would be greater by an equivalent amount, greater than us. So they're a billion years ahead of us. It would seem then logical to suspect that they long ago went from analog to digital, and then have very likely gone from digital to something else that we haven't even discovered yet. Sounds a lot like what I describe when I say I think SETI is a waste of time and money, because it assumes that extraterrestrials will still be using 21st century technology to transmit signals. And if they're traveling from distant stars to here, if that's true, they're traveling at or faster than the speed of light. And if they're traveling at the speed of light, any radio transmission would set right beside them. It could not go faster than they're going, because they're going as fast as it. In other words, it would be silent. So what they have to do is, if they're going to transmit a signal, it's got to be some way different than radio. All right, I'm going to open up the telephone lines now, and we'll invite you to join us, and especially, folks, if you're a first-time caller, this is a great night on Open Line Live. It's Bring Your Own Topic Night. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about, as long as it's within our genre. Okay? Here are the telephone numbers. The main number here in the studio is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number for the USA and for Canada is 888-223-4599. If you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free number for that. You can call our main number from anywhere on the planet. It will work, and we would be delighted to hear from you. But if you don't want to make that international long-distance call, because I do not have an international toll-free number, I have something called Flash Message. So you can go to my website, scroll down, and click on the link that says Flash Message, and you can send me a flash message with your question or comment. I'll read it on the air, provided it's within our genre, and we'll talk about it. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello, yes, and you know, before I get to what I want to talk about, you know, the Kevin Smith Show, it survives on people's donations and whatnot. I strongly suggest that, you know, if you want to keep hearing the Kevin Smith Show, go to thekevinsmithshow.com, and, you know, they've got the survival meter there. We're still, it looks to me, about $294 short of the monthly quota. You know, if I just made a donation to your show, by the way, Kevin.
Thank you.
A small one, mind you.
Thank you.
And I would request that everybody, you know, anybody that can, please at least make a small donation. You know, if 100 people donated maybe $2 to the Kevin Smith Show, we'd be at our quota for this month.
There you go.
So, you know, it doesn't take much, and there's no minimum donation you can make like some websites like to do. So try to keep the Kevin Smith Show going. Anyway, Kevin, what I wanted to talk about is perhaps continue on with what Marshall Masters was discussing last night. And by the way, that was an amazing show. I love Marshall Masters. I've listened to his stuff before. And you know, the global elite of this planet, I don't mean to get all doomy and gloomy here, but they know very well that something is going down. I don't know what's going to happen in 2012, but I tell you this: the rich and the politicians and the elitists and the billionaires, they've been getting ready for this for a long time with these underground bases, and also they've been getting ready for mass casualties. So you notice all these polyguard coffins stacked by the hundreds of thousands in every state of the Union of the United States. These things are everywhere. they know something's going down.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, people like to just write this off as conspiracy theories. I don't think it's much theory that they know that something is about to happen. When you see all these preparations that have been made over the course of the last 40 years, I'm talking about the underground bases, the quote unquote emergency centers that are run by you know who, FEMA, these FEMA camps that we've talked about before, and these things that have they know something is up, they know something's coming on, and I bet you, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, they know because they're the ones planning it.
Yeah, of course. And they're getting ready to, you know, for the rich and the politicians, they're getting ready for themselves to survive, and they're going to leave us here on the surface. And it seems to me that the infrastructure that they've put in place over the course of the last couple decades, that's exactly what they've been planning to do.
Well, let's say that there is some great calamity, mm-hmm. planet-wide, and... The rats go into the hole and hide underground.
Mm-hmm. Or off planet.
Well, the thing is, when the catastrophe is over and levels out, there are going to be survivors. And as I pointed out last night, even if 2/3 of the Earth's population were wiped out, you take the number of the elite that go into hiding and compare that against one-third that's left of the Earth's population. Well, the one-third of the Earth's population is still more than those elite.
Absolutely.
And I think they're going to be excessively ticked. And even if the elite say, well, if you don't play ball with us, you don't get any seeds. You know, I think they're going to be at a point where they're going to say, you know what? I haven't had any seeds. And I've survived this long, and I don't care if I survive any longer. You're going down. I think that the elite are painting themselves into a corner from which there is no escape. And I think they should ask people like Mussolini, Ceausescu, Milosevic. I think they need to ask people like that what it's like to paint yourself into the corner from which there is no escape.
Absolutely. And these calamities, they've happened before. They happened 12,000 to 15,000 years ago, the event that abruptly ended the last ice age. And we survived it, you know. We were able to hang on. We hung in there, and we're still here today. But
I think, you know, if there is some earth-shaking calamity like that, I mean, you know, if it's worldwide, it's reasonable to assume that a whole bunch of folks are going to die. But not everybody. And when it's over, the people who prepared for their survival in relative luxury and left everyone else to fend for themselves, they're going to have an angry, angry planet to come home to. I got to run. I thank you for the call, Kevin. I appreciate it. Yeah, the show with Marshall Masters was masterful. It surely was. What did you think about that audio clip that I played? About 4 minutes long there, where he amplified what was going on in the background noise in the electronics. It was not in the studio. Pretty interesting, huh? All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hello, Ryan.
Yeah. These morons that are interfering with your show. The question I have is, why can't they hire somebody who can do a better job? Why are they so lousy at their job?
I got an email about that today, and I've actually gotten emails similar to it before. That said, you know, they seem so obvious about it. And the email said, could it be that they caused the interruption and you think that...
No, I think they're just morons.
You may think they're just trying to interrupt the show, but they're actually trying to highlight what he's saying. What do you think about that?
No, I think that they're probably contractors from an aerospace company or an international group like the Bilderbergers that they couldn't find work anywhere else. They worked at McDonald's for a while. They don't have very high education, so they hire these thugs to go around with these laptops, and they don't have the cojones to come out of behind the woodwork and talk to you face to face, because they know that they don't have it. They don't have anything. And the thing that is so frustrating about this is all of us paying members to your show, it's not only affecting you, but it's affecting all the paying members to your show.
Mm-hmm.
And they're ripping off you, they're ripping off us, and there's laws against that, and that's called cyber terrorism. They passed laws, cyber terrorism laws, that it's actually an act of terror, and you're a cop, and you're connected to high places, and you know some people. I'd like to tell those folks that are listening right now that, you know, your time is limited and you're not going to be able to hide forever. So you might as well just, you know, there's going to be a time when Kevin's going to get you. And I want to ask you, Kevin, what do you think? When are these people going to be put out of business? I mean, this is just frustrating to me.
Well, there is one class of people to whom those laws do not apply, and that's the ones who pass the laws. So,
okay. Well, you know more about this than me.
Your phone is tapped. Your phone is tapped. Your email is tapped. Now, if you there's a kid on trial right now for hacking into Sarah Palin's email, but your email is hacked into. It's being the government's reading your email every time you send one. Hey, a break just took over. Thanks for the call. Be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is Open Line Live tonight, and that means we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. Just one thought to wrap up what I was saying with Ryan. Look, I'm not saying that the people that are doing this to my show and other shows, this is not the only show that goes through this, a lot of the shows that go through it are not live. It happens when they're taping, when they've got somebody on the phone and they're taping interviews. And you heard Mel from Veritas talk about one interview he was trying to do where this happened to them 26 times during the interview. And they edit that out so you don't hear it, but it's happening to them. I prefer for you to hear it. I know it's frustrating for you, but that's the point. I want you to be as knowledgeable about what's actually being done and frustrated about it as you can possibly be so that you can do something about it. These people are not going to be arrested under the current system because, well, it's just not going to happen. But I'll tell you, new days are coming. New days are coming. And when new days arrive, people that did this sort of stuff, put their foot on the throat of the public, total disregard for the Constitution, total disregard for human rights, these people will be taken to task when new days arrive. And they're coming. And these folks know it. The old paradigm is in its death spasms. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, first of all, I want to thank you for helping vindicate me on that Giants article.
How did I vindicate you? Refresh my memory. I have an old brain.
Email a few days ago, and which it was showing a photograph of a giant skeleton allegedly dug up in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that was a photoshopped picture, and it was done as part of a contest where a guy won about $10,000, and I think he got a job in working on other video productions after that.
Yeah.
But here you come up with a giant skull that was in the early 1940s in Texas, long before Photoshop. So I feel a lot better now.
Oh, they're look, giants are real. Or they were. You know, they existed. There's no question about it. Their skeletons have been found all over the world for hundreds of years. And all those skeletons disappear. But this one, the important thing about it is this one got photographed by the newspaper and published before it disappeared. So that's
how tall was this giant?
Well, you know, the article doesn't say, but based on the size of the skull, the website where I found this article had a comment that this giant would have been able to look down at the top of the head of Yao Ming, the NBA star.
Yes.
And he's a giant.
Yes, he is.
So
I kind of figured by the size of the skull, he had to be over 9 feet tall, somewhere between 9 and 12 feet tall.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah. Next, I have a question for you.
All right.
That interruption that you got last night, I downloaded your, you know, off of your show today, and did y'all try to chase a IP address on that?
You can't do that when you're offline.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know, but...
But the interesting thing, did you hear at the beginning of this show, Mike, did you hear when I played what Marshall did with that sound file?
Yeah, I heard you.
Mm-hmm. You can hear him talking in the background.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I could hear that in my earphones, and I tried to turn it up where everybody else could hear it. And if you knew what to listen for, you could faintly hear it.
Well, I heard something going on in the background, but it sounded muffled to me on through my speaker.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, something will be done at some point, and if it's going to be done, I guess we'll be the people that do it.
Well, I'll tell you this, just in case Moron is tuned in tonight, and I suspect he is. His first initial is B.
Okay.
One of them. His first initial is B, and okay. That's all I'll say. But maybe it would be wise, Mr. B,
well,
to steer
like
clear.
What you said to Ryan a while ago that, you know, some of this stuff could be done on purpose, and while it is aggravating to us, they could be using this to let us know that. They're sympathetic, but I mean, it's a heck of a way to do it.
Well, I don't know what their motive is, but the effect of it is it puts a highlighter over everything the guest just said.
That's exactly right.
And then, you know, you've been saying, well, you know, I don't know whether I buy that or not. And then this stuff happens, and when it happens, it ought to put bells and whistles in the air, and you say, hey, this must be correct, or they would not have interfered.
I think that it goes a lot deeper than Marshall was talking about last night, and I think you know that too.
Sure.
But, you know, basically what he's talking about is, I said last night, I agree, and, you know, I thank him for calling in on that.
Well, it's, you know, like a lot of people disagree with me when I say this, but I think we're watching the current power paradigm in its death spasms. It doesn't know what to do next. They really don't. They've set in motion things that took on a life of their own and have pretty much outrun their ability to keep it all coordinated. And so they don't know what to do. and they're still trying. You know, it's think of it this way. Have you ever seen a herd of sheep, a flock of sheep?
Yes, I have.
All right. Now, let's say you're trying to, this works with cows too, but you're trying to herd them. And for whatever reason, they stampede, and you're still running along trying to keep up with them and trying to herd them. But they got a mind of their own. Now, that's the way world events have done with the elite. They set in motion things that took on a life of their own, and it's like a herd that's stampeding, and they're still trying to do things to herd them in the direction they want it to go, but it's just overrunning them. And, you know, there will be drastic measures taken to try and get it all back under control. And it will momentarily work. And it will bust loose again. And that will be the end of the power paradigm.
Well, you know, I hope that I'm the sheepdog that's running out front, biting those sheep on the legs, and, you know, and giving them something to think about. And you also.
Well, yeah, I don't think that there's going to be anyone that can actually control the flow of the events now. It's taken on a flow of its own. It's taken on a life of its own, and it's going to run its course. And I don't think there's anybody that can actually herd a stampeding flock of sheep.
Well, I'll tell you what, I know that's what you're there for, and you're shepherding this flock that's listening to you, and you've got a lot of sheepdogs out here in the audience just waiting to try and see if we can help.
Well, like I say, get your surfboard, man. Get your surfboard. When the tsunami hits, ride the wave.
Talk to you later, Kevin.
All right, thanks. 623-444-5889. That's the main number. 888-223-4599 is the toll-free number. And we'll be back with more of your calls right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and it's Open Line Live tonight. Bring your own topic. We'll talk about what's on your mind, all right? Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Rex from Miami.
Hello, Rex.
Yeah, I've thought about the censorship like what you had last night, and I've heard stories about... Yes, and other shows actually hearing people talk to them while they're on break.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of had a theory about that I'm suspecting it's probably not a huge operation that runs it, probably not real well, doesn't have a lot of oversight, and I'm thinking there's a couple types of people. There's probably a few gung-ho people, like the one that knocked that other guy off 27 times.
Yeah.
And then there's probably some people that got assigned to that who really don't care and probably don't really approve of what they're doing, but they have maybe a quota. So they interfere with you a little bit, so they, you know, get good evaluations, but maybe they're not really that into it.
That sounds reasonable. It does. And, you know, somewhere, sometime, some of these guys have got to think, you know, I may be under orders to do this, but this is illegal. Now, when you do something, you follow an order that's an illegal order, refer to Nuremberg. Because all the Nazis at Nuremberg said We only were following orders. And the tribunal said you had a reasonable expectation to know. You had reason to know that what you were doing was illegal, even if it was an order. And you are under obligation to not follow illegal orders. So these people are, whether they are government or whether they are private, I don't know. But what they're doing is illegal. And even if it is their orders, it's illegal. And when the public has had enough, believe me, there will be change you can believe in. Big, big change.
Yeah, and last night's show, I should have called in and asked the guest, but just see if it's something you might happen to know. I was wondering, when you take the big DNA sequence that they can do now, and I think it's, what, like a billion sequences of the ACGT letters or something?
Okay.
Have you ever heard how they know the breaks for the chromosomes and the genes?
No. I know that they do, but I don't know how they do.
Yeah, I've always wanted an explanation. Just, I'm kind of curious, like, what it looks like three-dimensionally, how they actually read those, and, you know, just some of the basics that I've never heard anybody talk about. I just hear all the, you know, the incredible things you can do with DNA, but I've never heard anybody talk about the basics of it. I've always been curious.
Have you ever heard the theory that 3D chess is based on DNA?
No, hadn't heard that.
Yeah, that it's the idea of 3D chess is based, the concept is based on DNA and moving chromosomes. Moving genes.
Ah.
In 3D.
Yeah, I haven't even seen a 3D chess set. I've only heard of the concept.
Yeah, it's on. You'll see it on Star Trek sometimes, where they're sitting there and they have, there's the main chessboard, and then it looks like it's plexiglass. Then right above it is another chessboard, and right above that, the third chessboard, and they're moving from level to level and moving to different positions. So
yeah, that'd probably be, I think I have enough challenge with 2D chess.
Yeah. Hey, Rex, thanks for the call.
Yeah.
All right. 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. Or if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message and we'll read it on the air. Here is one from Bob in Australia. Hi, Kevin. Have you seen the latest photo that's been going around the internet? It's a picture of Nibiru near the left-hand side of the moon, if it's true, and I underline if it's true 20 times. This is big news. Many thanks, mate. Bob from Australia. I have seen that. I don't know if it's true. I have no idea. But it's a very interesting photograph. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, fair. Fair to no good. Yeah, he's talking about games. Do you know where they found the first backgammon board at?
Sumeria.
Yeah, Ur.
Mm-hmm.
In Iraq.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite games. ISIS, you know, you're talking about, you know, these cabals and stuff and what they're up to and you know, and how they're trying to herd us along, you know. You know, and I just kind of, you know, laugh at, because, you know, always somebody wants to be the big guy, you know. And it goes back to that philosophy, you know, my enemies... my enemy's enemies is my friends, you know, and, you know, in the end, you know, they're going to be backstabbing themselves, you know, and jostling for position, and, you know what I mean, it's, it, it's just, you know, when you get down and think about it, it's a real joke. As far as
well, look, just look at World War One and Two. We'll look at World War II. That's easy to focus in on. That's close enough that a lot of us know a lot of details about it. But you had the Royal House of England at war with the Royal House of Germany, although that had been taken over by the Nazis, and they're cousins. You had the same thing in World War One. They're all the same family. Most of the royalty of Europe are cousins.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a big family fight. It's a bloodline fight.
Yeah. I just want kind of utopia, you know, that they think that they're going to perceive or get out of this, you know. You know, how arrogant are they, you know?
And well, you can bet that whatever it is they have dreamed up for utopia, whatever they've dreamed up, their dream has them sitting on top of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right, Terry, thanks for the call, man.
Yep, thank you.
623-444-5889. Toll free, 888-223-4599. If you have tuned in tonight for the very first time, you know, somebody told you about the Kevin Smith Show or you found us on the internet, welcome. We're glad you're here. You probably have already noticed that there are some differences in this show and a lot of other shows. And one of the differences happens to be that we really do believe in freedom of speech. You don't have to agree with me. I'm not peddling an agenda. So, you know, if I say something and you disagree with it, well, you certainly are free to call in and state that you disagree and why you disagree. On Open Line Live, you're free to call in and bring up any topic in our genre that you would like to talk about. And our genre happens to be the strange and unexplained, where most people call it paranormal. And that does include virtually everything in the universe. But we don't do politics. We don't talk about conspiracies unless it really has something to do with our genre. Conspiracy for the sake of conspiracy, we're not interested in. But if it's within our genre, then certainly. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
This is just a comment.
All right.
When you were starting the show, you were talking about Robert Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
You know what his comment was when they set off the first nuclear blast out in White Sands?
I have heard it. Why don't you tell us?
Oh, my God. What have we done?
There are a lot of scientists down through history that have said that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, the power of that explosion doesn't necessarily have to be a destructive explosion. The power of that explosion can be harnessed. Instead of an explosion, you can harness it into electricity. And so, you know, nuclear energy by itself and nuclear fission is not necessarily an evil thing. You know, it's like electricity. You can light your house with it, or you can power an electric chair with it.
This is true. But the problem is that they developed it as a weapon. So he just kind of said, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
He's done.
Yeah. And, you know, there are lots of folks, lots of scientists that have developed something that was designed for the benefit of mankind that got taken over by the government, the military, and turned into weapons. And lots of them are saying, oh, my God, what have I done?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's just my thought.
All right, Brent. Thanks for the call.
Yep. Bye.
All right. 623-444-5889. And the toll-free number in the USA and Canada, 888-223-4599. Robert from Brazil says, what's the deal with the tie? You used to, and folks, it's actually Roberto, and he's writing in English, and I'm turning it into conversational English. So what's the deal with the tie? You used to wear a tie every night, and then you don't, and now you wear a tie again. What's up? Roberto, depends on the mood I'm in. But it also depends on the weather. If it's real hot outside, I generally am wearing short sleeves, casual clothes, and I just come to the show that way. It happens to be cool outside right now. I don't know. I have no idea if this is because of the volcano, if it's cooling weather off worldwide, or I don't know. I haven't watched the news about this, so I'm not sure. But it's very cool here in this part of Arizona today, yesterday, and today. And I'm back to wearing the long sleeves, the dress shirt, and the tie. That's all there is to it. Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Mark from Ohio.
Hello, Mark.
I wanted to follow up with what I was discussing last night with Marshall. John R. Moore, who is a retired Special Forces guy, is who is also a police detective, has started to go public with some information he's learned from his military contacts. And I talked about last night how he got a map from a retired submarine commander that shows what the U.S. will look like in the very near future.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I would briefly describe this for you. It's kind of interesting.
Okay.
The West Coast fares a little bit better than the East Coast, but the cities on the West Coast that will be underwater include San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland, Oregon. And one thing I thought was very interesting is it shows all of Washington State underwater. The eastern edge of Texas will be underwater, and the East Coast is really much worse than the West Coast.
When you say the eastern edge of Texas is going to be underwater,
yes.
Starting at the east side of Texas, how far into Texas does that go?
From what I remember, maybe 75 miles.
That sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. All of Florida will be underwater, about 90% of Georgia, all of the states that are on the Atlantic there that have a coastline will be underwater. The Great Lakes will become one large lake. Wisconsin will be completely underwater, and the Mississippi will be greatly expanded, and in some places it will be hundreds of miles wide. And like Marshall was saying, all the Navy guys are being told to retire to the Ozark Mountains in Missouri and Arkansas. But John might be a good guy for you to get on the show. His name is John R. Moore.
Okay, I've made a note of it. I got a question or two for you about this.
Sure.
Based on this information now, how do we know that the Navy guys are being told to retire to Northwestern Arkansas?
Well, according to John, he knew two submarine commanders, and he asked them specifically that information. One of them told him, and the other one would only blink one for yes and two blinks for no when John asked him questions. But they're both retiring in that area. And I guess there are hundreds and hundreds of retired Navy guys in that area.
All right, now, did they tell him what sort of event is going to happen that's going to cause all of this massive change to the United States geographically?
Well, John is saying it's Planet X, mm-hmm. but he did not say specifically that they said that it was Planet X.
Hmm.
That helped.
So, what does he conclude from this?
John?
Mm-hmm.
Well, John is a firm believer, just like Marshall Masters, that Planet X is real, it's on its way, and it will have a tremendous impact on our weather. One of the things he talks about is the intensification of the winters in the northern states. And that's one thing that we saw in Ohio this year. I live about an hour east of Columbus, so I'm closer to West Virginia than a lot of people. And the first storm that hit us dumped 15 inches on us this year. And then about 3 days later, we got another 8 inches. And then 3 days after that, we got about 6 inches. And a normal snowstorm here is usually 3 or 4 inches. And it's gone in a couple of days. But we had snow on the ground for almost an entire month. So, and we also had power outages, a lot of power outages. I would say a totally probably a week without power. So I have a home generator, so I was okay, but all my neighbors around here were in big trouble. So,
mm-hmm.
So it's you're probably not seeing these things where you are, but there are things that are changing, certainly up north.
Well, there are things that are changing even here. It is unusual for us to have temperatures like we've had the last 2 days at this time of the year. That's very unusual for us. And, you know, we're just maybe 3 weeks away from the time of the year when we move into the northern suburbs of hell. And we're there till, you know, October, November, then it eases up. So we get about 6 months of hell. Well, the northern suburbs. You're not quite in, when you get out here in the summertime, you're not quite in hell. Not quite, but you're close enough to feel the fire. And it gets intense out here. And for us to be having weather as cool as we had yesterday and today, at this time of the year, is unusual for us.
Well, one other thing that we're having, and I don't know if you're having this or not, but we're having these very strange straight-line winds, and they don't seem to be associated with any weather front. We just get maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes of 60-mile-an-hour wind, and I asked John what is causing that. He has his own radio show, and I did call him one time. And John said that the jet stream is descending to the surface of the planet occasionally. And I know that sounds rather ominous, but if you experience what we've experienced this past year, you'll know that the weather just isn't normal at all. So,
yeah, there's not much happening on this planet right now that's normal. Really? I mean, really, you just look around, whether you're talking about sociologically, geologically, economically, politically, all over the globe. There's just not much happening that you could call normal.
Yeah, and I could go off on the political tangent, but I probably better not, since that's really not what this show is for. But I wanted to share that with you and your listeners, and if nothing else, They can go out to YouTube and look up his video. It will have an impact.
Okay, Mark. Well, I want to thank you for the call.
All right, good evening.
All right. Interesting. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. And we'll be more than happy to hear from you. It is Bring Your Own Topic Night. And a great night for anyone to call in, and especially if you're a first-time caller, you've never called us before, this would be a perfect night for you to call because we have more telephone time available to us. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. It's Avi from New Jersey.
Hello, Avi.
Hi. I was just listening. The last caller was talking about, and the show last night with Marshall was great. I only caught a little bit of it, as you know, with all the interruptions.
Mm-hmm.
But I was wondering about that John R. Moore guy. I've been trying to look up some of those things after I heard Marshall talk about it. I couldn't spell it. I mean, I tried spelling the last name. Do you know how that's spelled?
John R. Moore? I guess it's M-O-O-R-E or
yes.
M-O-R-E.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't found any.
Could be M-O-H-R.
I didn't think of the O-H-R part. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm interested in this sort of thing with the, you know, so.
All right. Thanks for the call, Ivy.
I want to say hi. Yeah.
All right. Thank you much. 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. Caller, are you willing to hang on through the break? Hello, caller.
I'm willing.
You are willing?
Yes, I am, Kevin.
All right. We'll be back right after this. Tell you, you would think after pushing these buttons night after night, I would push the right button, but sometimes I have a brain cramp and I push the wrong button, and I did. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Stefan in Quebec City.
Hello, Stefan.
Hi. Kevin, my comments are regarding the Norway spiral. I have two things that really bug me about it ever since it happened.
All right.
The first one is, if it was a failed missile rocket from Russia, wouldn't that have triggered an international incident between Norway and Russia?
Well, not necessarily, because they test rockets out in the White Sea all the time.
Okay.
And it would have triggered an international incident had they, if they fired a rocket and had not warned the other nations around that they were going to, because there are treaties that they are party to that say they have to. Same with us. If we're going to be test firing something and it's likely to be seen by people in other countries, then... we have to notify them. Right off the coast of Canada, NASA does test firing of certain things. And they have to notify Canada that that's going to happen.
That's true. I have seen U.S. submarines off the coast of British Columbia, right around the Victoria and Nanaimo area. The other thing about the Norway spiral that kind of bugs me is, you know, there were multiple... I think there was over... How many thousand witnesses?
It was a lot. A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you would think that if it was a rocket and it ignited and spiraled out into space, that it would have formed some sort of a diagonal or vertical or horizontal plane throughout space, more or less. And yet every shot that I've seen of the Norway spiral seems to be perfectly circular.
Well, they can spiral. They can spiral out of control. However, think about this. They're now claiming they've been claiming this since a couple of days after the event. They started, the Russians started saying, oh, well, yeah, it really was one of ours. We were test firing this, what is it? It's not Belarus, but it's something like that. Missile. Okay, now there have been already, I think, and my numbers may be wrong, but I think there had already been like 10 or 12 test fires, and they all failed. So the people in Norway had already seen what these failed rockets look like. They already had seen tests that failed. None of them looked up at this thing and said, oh, that's one of those rockets that they're testing and it failed.
Exactly.
They already knew what that looked like. They looked up at this thing and said, hand me the video camera. This is weird. What is this?
Yeah. The other thing that bothers me about that, too, is that, and I agree with you, the other thing, too, is that if it was perfectly circular from every angle, does that imply that the event was spherical?
Not necessarily, because it was offshore, so there wasn't anybody on the far side of it looking back at it seeing the same thing, or to the left or right of it. They were all on shore looking offshore at it.
Okay. I wasn't.
I don't know if you caught the show that I did on this. The plume of fire and exhaust that comes out of a rocket is smallest right at the tail of the rocket. And then it spreads out slightly behind the rocket.
Huh.
Okay. Well, here you have a blue light that's narrowest far away from the rocket, if there was a rocket, and it spreads out moving up toward the rocket. In other words, it's exactly opposite of what it should be.
Darn.
So I don't think nobody has convinced me. I think he just dropped off the line, okay? But nobody has convinced me that was a missile. Maybe it was. And they're not obligated to convince me. But I'm not convinced that Norway spiral was caused by a missile. I put a lot of... look, I guess it's because I spent so many years as a cop. Maybe that's the reason. But as a cop, and I was not an office cop, okay, I had to go out and interview people. I got sent to places where someone called and said, hey, there's this problem or that problem, this crime or that crime happening. And I got sent to those places. I had to interview people. I had to listen to what the eyewitnesses had to say and conduct my investigation based on what they told me they had seen, heard, and experienced. I have a lot of confidence in eyewitness testimony. I have a lot of confidence in that. Virtually everyone that's in jail got there because someone provided eyewitness testimony to their crime or to little bits and pieces of their crime. And then the investigators put it all together. So why would we not pay attention to the eyewitness testimony for something like this? That makes no sense to me. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Tracy from Canada.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi. I was surprised. I kept calling in and couldn't get in. You're busy tonight.
Yeah.
So this is wonderful. I just wanted to compliment you on your show last night. That was amazing.
Well, thank you.
Marshall had such incredible information. I'm part of David Corso's team.
Uh-huh.
Up here in Canada, and a lot of the things that Marshall was saying is things that we've researched and think are going to happen too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of us are panicking right now. If anything, I think what's most important for everyone to know is just to take care of yourselves. Like, we have some time now, so, you know, if you need to get in shape, this is the time to do it.
It is, and I do.
Wise, this is the time to do it.
And I need to get in shape.
Everything's going to be one battle at a time.
Well, that's true. And look, there's also this. I have absolutely no desire to die. But I have absolutely no fear of it. And so my dad used to say, son, you have to live till you don't. Okay, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to live till I don't. And if I make it through all of this, fine. If I don't, fine. Because at least from my point of view, this body is not the whole story. And, you know, I think it's kind of like a car. And the real me is in here driving this car. And the real me will continue to exist. So
and panic's never a good idea. You know, you've had a lot of people with incredible information. But to be honest, nobody's 100% sure.
That's true.
Nobody knows what's going to happen next. So,
Let me invite you to my party, December the 21st, 2012. I'm planning on having that in Bangkok, Thailand. Now, they're going to have to get all their political stuff settled down and get it back to what it was, or we'll have to move the party. But Kevin Smith Show is going to have a party, December the 21st, 2012. And the deal is, we're not thumbing our nose at all of this, but the deal is, hey, if it's going to happen, let's go out happy.
Yeah, sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Just in case, we might as well have the party ready.
That's right.
I like that. I like your plan.
Well, you're invited to the party. And right now, the plans are wonderful. To have it in Bangkok, Thailand.
Okay, well, have a good night, Kev.
Thanks for the call. And I would invite all of you, everybody in 143 countries listening to this show, I think we ought to show up at Bangkok, Thailand and have our party. That would be some party, wouldn't it? Wow. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Okay. 623-444-5889 or toll free, 888-223-4599. Let me check over here. Okay, we have a flash message from Tony in Australia. And he says, hello, Kevin. I guess this is a silly thing to ask, but do you know anyone you could have on as a guest that has a fair knowledge of survival and planning for any upcoming disasters? If you think it's a silly question, please tell me so. All the best. Tony, I don't think that's silly at all. And let's say there are no upcoming disasters. We don't know. But let's say there aren't going to be any more disasters for the rest of your life. You still need to be ready in case, right? Because we don't know. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's John from Vancouver Island.
Hi, John.
Hi. I want to talk about chemtrails.
Let's talk about chemtrails.
I've been, you know, really conscious of them over, I'd say, the last year. I've been photographing them. I don't really have a good telephoto, so I can't get a real close-up shot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But when they really crisscross, I've been photographing that. But here, the reason I'm calling is in April of every year, the snowbirds, the Canadian flying team,
mm-hmm.
they will practice over Comox out of the base here for a couple of weeks. And so this is the first time I've been aware of chemtrails along with the snowbirds practicing. So I immediately got curious to see if the two would go together. Well, you know, since they've been practicing here, there's about, I don't know, 10 or 12 of the planes that fly over here in formation,
mm-hmm.
and they just do routines. Well, I haven't seen any chemtrail activity.
Ooh, now that's interesting. Are you willing to hang on through the break? I want to talk about this with you.
Sorry?
Are you willing to hang on through the break so I can talk about this with you?
Okay, sure.
Yeah, hang on, because we have a break coming up in 3 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back on the other side of this break with our final approach. We're back, and we're on final approach, and we have John from Vancouver Island on the line, I hope. Are you still with us, John?
Yep, still here.
Okay. So let me get this straight. You normally have chemtrails in the sky that you're talking about, in the area where you're talking about. And then when the snowbirds, which I presume that's a precision flying team of probably of the Canadian Air Force, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Okay, so they come in to do their practicing, and while they are there, there are no chemtrails, is that right?
Yeah, I really noticed that. This is the first year that I put the two together, so I'm really looking. And I don't see chemtrails at all, and normally they're here a lot.
What do you think that means then, that it's the Air Force that is in charge of laying those chemtrails out? Or do you think that perhaps it's someone else, but they have coordination between them?
Well, I think it's coordination.
Who's doing it?
You know, we're a ground crew of two here. I have a buddy who's been at this a lot longer than me, and he's flown the base. Like, we have a base here in Comox,
mm-hmm.
Air Force Base.
Yeah.
And that's why the snowbirds are here, because they take off from there. So he's phoned in, and you know, they go, well, we don't know anything about it. But my guess is, there's a coordination, and the reason is while the snowbirds are practicing, you know, there's a possibility of collision. So the planes that normally do the chemtrails aren't around. That's my guess.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I start talking about it just on street level.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a fellow I just ran into that I mentioned to, and he said he started noticing when a base opened up in Alaska, a military base, and that's when he really started noticing the chemtrail planes. So it sort of makes sense, because they always fly high. You never see them land or take off, even though we have a military base. I mean, I'm like 5 minutes away from it. But these planes, they're always high, and you never see them land or take off. So, you know, the idea that they come in from a base out of Alaska kind of makes sense.
I honestly don't know where they come from.
I know.
But we have them over Phoenix all the time. What do you think chemtrails are?
Well, you know, if we had, you know, there's I've heard barium, different chemicals like that. I've heard originally they were associated with communications between bases and submarines for a kind of 3D thing that they had to visualize over mountains. So by seeding the clouds, they could do this 3D setup radio-wise using these chemicals. But what I've heard is it's evolved over time, and now I'm hearing it's connected up with, you know, population reduction.
Well, I've heard all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen anyone or heard anyone come forward with actual information. Okay, and let me give you an example of what I would be looking for. We've all heard about UFOs. A lot of folks that call this show have seen UFOs. I've seen them. Okay, now, what are they? Well, there are a few folks who are former military who have come forward and said, I was on a UFO retrieval, crash retrieval, and here's what we saw, here's where it was, here's what we did. Granted, that's just someone's testimony. But no one has come forward with even that level of testimony yet to say, I'm former military. I worked in this program where we were spraying chemtrails. Here's what I did, and here's what they are. That still wouldn't prove it, but we haven't even gotten to that level of evidence yet. So I have no idea what they are.
Like, the one thing that I, because I've been looking for some time now, is that the plumes that they emit just bloom out.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get a number of them crisscrossing,
mm-hmm.
they will bloom out, and then instead of, like, a bright blue sky day, there's haze. There's
mm-hmm.
certain degree of haze that I've been looking, they all kind of fuse together, and so there's this kind of like whitish sort of, you don't even see clouds, it's just a haze kind of thing, and it's
mm-hmm.
mostly white, and they're out there a lot, and what astounds me is if this is over every continent, like where the heck is the money coming from to fund this thing on a global level?
Out of your pocket.
Yeah, I just find that astounding.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, it would indicate that while there are lots of people who are saying we've got to stop the formation of this one world government, it would indicate it already exists.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'm not seeing it right now when the snowbirds are practicing, that's very suggestive that there's a coordination there.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
Well, John, I want to thank you for the call. We're almost out of show. So,
thank you,
and very interesting, and keep us up to date there on the chemtrails, all right?
Okay.
All right. All righty then. Now, tomorrow night, we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to be dealing with some information tomorrow night that almost never gets dealt with in the so-called UFO community. And by so-called, I'm not saying anything derogatory about it. It's just within the community of people that talk about UFOs, you almost never hear anything about the material that we're going to deal with tomorrow night. The book that I'm going to be dealing with is out of print, but I looked it up on the internet. I found a place where you can buy one for $98.99. I found someone that's reprinting them in paperback. That's a hard copy. and $98.99. So $100, you can get this book. Someone's reprinting them in paperback, and it's $15 and something, $15.95 or something like that. So this is, it's not that it's really, really rare information, except it's just not out on the forefront of what everyone's talking about. And to the best of my ability, I determined that it never has been out on the forefront. It made a small little flash in the pan when it came out in 1956. But it never was the big story. Well, times have changed, and what we now know about UFOs and what we now know about UFO cover-ups have, in my opinion, made this information that we're going to talk about tomorrow night very, very apropos for our current time. But we're out of time for tonight. Hope you'll be with us tomorrow night when we talk about that. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.